But boy, one of the most controversial things you could talk about right now are no-knock warrants and the shooting death of Amir Locke by a Minneapolis SWAT officer serving a no-knock warrant during a homicide investigation, of which Locke was not a suspect on, at least everything I've read about that. It's prompted calls for an end to the practice of serving high-risk warrants on homes without giving occupants a chance to answer the door. Boy, it's a hot topic. It's an important one to understand. And helping us do that is criminal law professor and associate dean at the University of Illinois College of Law. We're talking with Margaret Atien. How you doing, Professor? Thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it is a difficult conversation to have, obviously, and we're talking about life and death situations. So I just wanted to get an interpretation. First, let's start here. You know, I've always been taught, I feel like we were taught, the police, with a warrant, they have to knock, they have to announce themselves. That goes back to, like, English common law. Where in American history did these no-knock warrants start to become more acceptable? Do we have it pinned down anywhere?
I don't know if we have it exactly pinned down, but what we started to see was really around the 1970s, where and the sort of advancement of the kind of war on drugs situation that we started to see more and more no-knock warrants. But you're absolutely right that typically, you know, a warrant requires that you go through certain procedures, right? That you knock, that you say who you are, that you have, of course, you know, reasonable suspicion to get the warrant in the first place and that sort of thing. And we started to see this idea, particularly this notion that the evidence was going to be destroyed, right? That's where we started to see that a lot with the sort of so-called war on drugs.
Oh, that like paraphernalia would be flushed down the toilet or whatever the case may be.
Okay,
so they were like, well, we have to get it. And, you know, I guess that can make some sense, right?
Well, yeah, in some situations, you know, I mean, it depends again how, I mean, now we've rethought a lot of the old way of thinking when, you know, with the sort of war on drugs.
Yeah.
But if you've got a ton of drugs, you're not going to be able to flush all of that down the toilet or burn it or, you know. And if you've got just a small amount of drugs, then the question becomes, is it worth it, right? Is because we do also gauge these sometimes on the seriousness of the crime. Because if you're issuing a no-knock warrant, it's a dangerous situation, typically. And is it worth the lives of the officers or the people inside? You know, if you're really dealing with a small amount of drugs, if you're dealing with the kind of stuff that could get flushed down the toilet easily, in other words, then the question now we ask is, well, is that even really worth the danger of the no-knock warrant?
Right. And we've actually already had some texts in from Chicago police officer spouses, two of them saying even police officers do not like doing it because they're, you know, this is dangerous, obviously, for innocent bystanders who might get caught up in it. But of course, it can be very dangerous for police officers, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, there's a significant number of police officer fatalities that happen during no-knock warrants,
yep.
You know, more than one might think.
I've been reading about, in preparation for this interview, because I knew nothing about this, certain Supreme Court cases, and we don't have to go through all the litigation of why or what, but that the Supreme Court has sort of held over the last couple of decades that there are situations where no-knock warrants make sense. You mentioned destruction of property. I imagine if it would be, you know, someone's life is in danger on the inside, perhaps, or that they want to at least give local and state judges that discretion, right? Because this is something that still has to go through a court proceeding to be able to get access to be able to do one of these things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. The Supreme Court, I mean, there's a standard. Not anyone can just get a no-knock warrant for no reason. You've got to usually show that there's, you know, that it's reasonable, right? That you have a good reason to have the no-knock warrant. If you can accomplish the same thing without a no-knock warrant, then, you know, you don't really have a reason to get one. But the other stuff, like you said, it's either because of the worry about the destruction of property, or that it will be more dangerous for the people inside or for the officers themselves to execute the warrant, you know, a sort of a typical warrant. So you can imagine, you know, there's a kidnapped kid inside,
right?
Or, you know, some reason somebody's got to rush in there and they don't have time to announce themselves or knock. But those are, you know, those are getting to be fewer and fewer situations that fall under that circumstance.
Yeah, I've been hearing from a lot of police experts, in fact, that they're trying to get away from it. In fact, and I don't want to ask you the specifics about this case and put you on the spot in case you don't know, but I think I had read somewhere that it was Minneapolis police that executed this no-knock warrant. But did it happen in St. Paul because the officers there don't even do this? Have you heard of things along those lines before?
Well, even before this case, the Minneapolis, I mean, they had reformed, you know, the change of requirements for no-knock warrants. So they were really already kind of looked down upon, and you know, there were a lot of limitations as to when you could use them. So it's not as if we're only talking about it because this case happened. People have been really concerned about these no-knock warrants for a while.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we reiterate that if a department wants a no-knock warrant, what is that process right? Like, because this could happen in the middle of the day, the middle of the night. How does that look from a judicial perspective? How does it work?
So let me just give a little bit of background then on just getting a regular warrant.
Please.
Right? So, you know, you would need to, an officer would need to be able to show that they had, you know, reasonable suspicion to either get into a place to do an arrest, like they had a reason to arrest the person who was inside, or to do a search. So you need a warrant for either one of those, and you've got to go to a court, go to a judge, explain the basis for the warrant, for just any warrant, you know, and then you get that warrant, and with that, you have the ability to go in into a car or a house or a place where the person would otherwise have privacy or sort of a Fourth Amendment right against a search or a seizure like that. So you have to do that no matter what, for mm-hmm. any kind of warrant that you. But if you wanted a special no-knock warrant, then you have to explain, and this is where there's a little bit of distinction, but you're right, the Supreme Court has talked about this, and they say that, you know, in order to justify getting a no-knock warrant, that then the police have to show that the fact that they're announcing their presence and knocking would either be dangerous or would be futile in terms of getting the evidence that they're there to get. That's still a pretty big...
That's a high burden.
Sort of, you know, it's pretty broad, but you at least at that point have to explain to that judge when you go in front of the judge, you know, this is why a regular warrant's not going to do the job in this case. So that's what the Supreme Court has said. But now, over the last several years, and particularly now, a lot of different states have said, okay, we're not getting rid of the no-knock warrant. I mean, there are a handful of states that have gotten rid of it altogether. But most of them have said, you know, we're not going to get rid of it, but we're going to add limitations, right? We're going to add restrictions to this so that, you know, you can't execute it at night if you could otherwise have executed it during the day. Or you've got to show, you know, some sort of additional showing to us as to why, you know, you need this no-knock warrant. Some places have said, you know, we're only going to let a SWAT team execute this. We want somebody, you know, we want professionals who... Not just, you know, any law enforcement officer, but people who, they do this all day long, right? That this is the thing that they do. So different jurisdictions have come up with different ways of limiting how you might, you know, get a no-knock warrant, but only a few have gone and outlawed it altogether.
Yeah, I was reading that I think Oregon and Florida have done that, outlawing altogether, Virginia through legislation. So while the Supreme Court has allowed limitations, or excuse me, has allowed exceptions and allowed them, they see this as primarily a state issue, that they can, a state or even a municipality can go beyond and prevent them from happening at all.
That's right. So what they're essentially saying is, look, you've got this Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures. We don't think that if somebody goes out, if the officers get a warrant and the judge signs it and says it's okay to do a no-knock, that doesn't violate your Fourth Amendment right. But a state, any state could say, you know what, Fourth Amendment is great, but we want to be even more protective of privacy rights than the Fourth Amendment allows. So states can always protect more. They just can't protect less.
Interesting.
Than the Fourth Amendment.
Right. They couldn't, strip away your rights that are granted to you by the Fourth, but they could enhance them, if you will. And the same applies to all the amendments, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's it's really important, I think, to sometimes understand who's making the laws and how they're making them and why they are and what their limitations are at state legislatures. Because I think a lot of times people say, well, why can't the state just do this? And, well, because it takes away part of a right that's guaranteed to you by the federal government, which supersedes, of course, your state rights. All right, I wanted to ask and put a finer point on the idea of you have to prove, like, if doing it during the day is better than doing it at night. Because some people will say they want to do it at night, but you're saying in some places they'll say, look, show me why that's better, and you have to show me that that is better and prove it. Otherwise, let's put it during the day, because so many of these tragic cases have happened at night just because of how chaotic the evening can be, and put plain and simple, the lack of light and seeing what's in front of the officer's eyes.
I think that's right. And you know, one way to think about some of this, John, is there's all this law on warrants and no-knock warrants and all of that. But at the same time, there's other laws that allow people to carry firearms legally, and the number of firearms, the sale of firearms has gone up dramatically over the last several years. So you've got more and more people with guns to protect themselves. At least that's sort of how they view it. And a lot of that is, you know, somebody breaks into your house and you don't know if it's a police officer or what it is. I think most people think that's exactly the reason that they have a firearm.
Right.
Less likely to happen during the day. And so you kind of, the way I look at it is you've got these different areas of law that no one sat down and thought, well, how is this all going to work together? They just kind of grew on their own and developed on their own, and now there's a conflict. And so that's part of what happened in this case, and, you know, with the law cases, at least what we're hearing is that, you know, he had a valid license to carry this gun. But, you know, what does it mean to have a valid license to carry a gun if somebody can break into your house and then, you know, ask questions later?
Right.
Even if that person is a police officer.
Right. And we have a lot of people that listen to the station that are ideologically, they really support the police officers. And heck, on the station, we just raised a bunch of money to support police officers getting bulletproof vests. And, you know, we can have honest discussions about criminal justice, but also keep our police officers safe. I think that you can do two things at once. But that also strongly support the Second Amendment and the right to carry a firearm and to protect your property. And this is a really hard one, right? This person was laying on the couch asleep, and all of a sudden someone busts into your house, you have a gun, and you fire at them, and then they can kill you because of that. It's so hard to square this circle, and it's a really difficult thing. The last question I have for you, and feel free to say I don't want to look into a crystal ball, but where do you see the future of no-knock warrants going? Is this a discussion that will continue both in local municipalities and also in state legislatures?
Yeah, you know, I would say, I mean, first of all, let me say, you've got it exactly right. I think that you know, in terms of trying to do these two different things, this is a tough case. And, you know, the officers who execute these warrants want to be safe.
Yeah.
A lot of times the no-knock warrants kind of put them in jeopardy. So that's part of it. But I would say that I don't see the no-knock warrants going away. I don't see our Supreme Court, you know, getting rid of no-knock warrants. I do think it's possible that we'll see more and more jurisdictions coming up with other limitations about, you know, when do you, you know, do you really need it? Show us that there is actually, you know, a reason for this particular kind of warrant, because it does create a lot of chaos, as you reminded us. And, you know, it's difficult for everybody in that situation. So the kinds of things we're seeing are, you know, requirements that officers wear body cams if they're executing a no-knock warrant. Doing it during the day, as we talked about, a certain amount of time you got to wait, you know, like maybe you got to knock and then you can go right in, or maybe you've got to wait a certain amount of time, or if you have to do it, then you've got to let your supervisor know right after. Right. So there's a whole list of, limitations that are being, that different legislatures are asking about, or, victims' families, officers themselves are asking about. So that's the direction I see things going, is kind of an expansion of the limitations for no-knock warrants.
For sure. Professor Etienne, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your perspective on this, okay?
Oh, you are very welcome. It's always great to, you know, hear your program and know that you're an alum of the University of Illinois, and so I'm always happy to help.
Yeah, I saw your 217 area code. I'm like, yeah, that makes me feel good again. ILL, baby.
That's right.
Have a good one, Professor.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, a great conversation, an important one. And I think that, boy, as we exhibited today with this fundraiser too, I think everyone can agree that we want those the brave folks who serve and protect to get home at the end of the day. At the same time, we can have honest and real discussions about criminal justice reform. At the end of the day, I think we just want everyone to live through the day, through the night, through their job, through their life, some way, shape, or form, and let cooler heads prevail. And no-knock warrants certainly are an escalation. Not saying they're never, you know, never to be used, but it's an important discussion to have at our local and state levels. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. Let's take a break, and then the news here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN.